So let's do it together, all right? So Father, we ask this morning that you will speak to us. We don't want to hear fancy words, say nice things to each other, and then just leave, and that was it, a nice thing to do. Again, we want a deep encounter with you. We don't want to just talk about you, think about you, learn about you. We want to encounter you today. We know that's what you want. We know that's even why you've given us your word. So we don't just stuff our heads full of facts, but we encounter you. You, the living Christ, the living Lord. And I ask that. We have already some. And I ask further now, Lord, that you will quicken our hearts and minds in an unusual way and take us deeper with you. Where each of us is right now in our journey, take us another step with you, we ask. Thank you that you love to do it. And so we thank you for what you're doing and will do right now. And God's people said, amen. Amen. So let's read it again together. Right? And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. They love to pray standing in the synagogues, on the street corners, to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Are you believing for that? And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans. They think they'll be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them. For your Father knows what you need before you even ask him. This then is how you should pray. Let's pray it together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And then, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Doesn't that shake you a little bit when you read that? When you just let it wash over you a little? When you marinate in it a little bit? Doesn't it grab you? I want us to just, as we come to this conclusion, to just look at it from a little bit of a different direction, but personally for sure. Two key words, power and glory. Two very significant words. And as Jesus was uttering these words in his prayer, his audience, the people listening to him right then, would have made assumptions that we do not today. They had lived as oppressed and powerless for generations. Try to picture that. They had watched as well-trained, well-equipped soldiers had ruthlessly taken their land under control, subjugated them. No sympathy. These people were forced into silence. Imagine, driven into submission. And that's the setting. Power, they chafed under it every moment of every day. They despised it, and yet they craved it for themselves so they would not have to suffer anymore. Feel that with them. So when Jesus ends this prayer with the words, "Yours, Abba, is the kingdom, the power, the glory," it sets their hearts on fire. For many, it was a call to insurrection. They still weren't getting it totally. Power and glory. That was the Roman worldview. That was their way of life. They only gave value to religion and philosophy if it would not interfere with their lust and their greed, their hedonism. Only then. So Jesus' words challenged the evil, abusive power of the day because the kingdom, the power, the glory all belong to the Father, our Abba. Amen? Only to Him. Far above any threats, any intimidation, oppression, violence of the Roman government or any government of that day, any day after. Isn't it interesting? The oppression of the Roman government, as horrible as it was, only accomplished God's purposes. The harder it oppressed, the more the seed got scattered, the more it was pressed underground. And guess what happens to seeds that are scattered and pressed underground? They start to take root and they shoot up and multiply and throw out more seed and more and more. The worse the Roman government could have thrown at Christianity only made it stronger. Isn't God amazing? Does He know a little more than the Roman government? Amazing. So to speak of the kingdom, the power, the glory, is quite a challenge to all people personally, personal ambition, nationalism, any attempt at an assertion of power and control over all of existence. No comparison to our Abba. And it hits you right in the face as you start to repeat the end of this prayer. It surely hit them hard. Those listening would only begin to think of probably some scripture they knew really well. Three psalms. Do you know which ones? Three in a row. It starts with a two, ends with another two. And then the one after it, and then the one after that. Voila. These three psalms tell us some of the gospel story. Imagine. But they also had a special place in the liturgy and the lives of the Jews who had to endure the Roman rule. A two-part impact on them. Psalm 22, it opens with a heart-wrenching cry. My God, why have you forsaken me? Do you remember those words? Someone else uttered them, identifying with them, and as a fulfillment of what He came to do. Partial fulfillment. As He screamed out those words, yelled them out from the cross. Our great Savior. But every ordinary Jew in the days of Jesus felt these words personally and very deeply. The verses describe really the suffering of most of the ancient Jews in Israel. They relate it in another way to it as well. Then, some more of the psalm. It became a cry of the day. Don't be far from me, calling out to God. Trouble's near. There's no one to help. Seeming that it was desperate. The psalmist wrote these words perfectly picturing the Roman aggression 1,000 years before it struck them. God had a plan and a way to encourage them. Psalm 23 then breaks in wonderful words. Amen. Say them. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Deep desperation, pain in Psalm 22 gives way to a firm confidence as it goes on. Even though I walk, say it with me, through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Then Psalm 24 explodes right after. Lift up your heads, O you gates, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he, this King of glory? Say it with me. The Lord Almighty. He's the King of glory. Death and destruction. Picture the stage. Death and destruction swept off the stage. Who comes onto center stage? The King of glory. And he stays there for the rest of the play. No longer will the people of God cry out for help someday. Anybody excited about that? Anybody cry out for help once in a while? I see a lot of heads shaking. Amen and amen. Yeah, life is hard. But let's, you know, the saying, and we say in America, some life is hard and then you die. You know, nice words of encouragement to speak to your friend when you see them in the morning. Hey, Sebastian, how are you? Life's hard, isn't it? And then you die. Yeah. Au revoir. Yeah. Best to you. We ought to be saying, life's hard, and then you meet Jesus. Wouldn't that be a better way to encourage each other? Life's hard, but God's faithful. The King's coming. The King will return someday, soon. Amen? Life's hard. Not compared to what we're going to receive someday if we're faithful. Amazing. So, when we start to pray these last words, what's Jesus wanting to fill our hearts and minds, our very souls? What does he want to surge through our veins? When things look bleak, when things look challenging, what's he want us to be thinking? What's he want to encourage us? We remember the ancient word that we have been learning and memorizing. Amen? And helping to go deep into our hearts and souls. We remember his truth to us. We remember the Psalms that will affirm our pain, like these even. And then we look for that day. We don't stop there. We look for that day when we know for sure our joy will be complete, as the scriptures say. Are you confident in that today? Yeah, I think I am. Friends, sit with it. Take it today and in this week. Sit with this and let it wash over you. May I use the other word? Marinate in it. It will change your whole heart about this and give you a new confidence as you face the tough things in life, as you walk through what he calls you to do. It's only a little while. The King is coming. The King is coming. Remember, the Lord strong and mighty, the King of glory. He's coming back. Say that to the person next to you. He's coming back. Now shake that person so they really understand it. He's coming back. Don't you get it? But let's look a little personally, a little more personally right now. What about power and glory today? These are two important issues. We all struggle. We all struggle in some way with the temptations of power and glory. See, now I'm going to get personal. That all was nice sounding stuff to begin with. Now we get personal. Now I get personal. Three fingers pointing back to me. Yeah. They come in the forms of control. Say that with me. Control. Control. Significance. Significance. And success. Whew, that's weak. Power and glory. And the temptations come with those issues. Control, significance, success. It's not that we crave these things that much. Control, significance, success. Right? But generally with most of us, it's, well, just a little is okay. I'm guilty some, but it's not that much. It's all right. It's like when you put some arsenic in your wife's drink, right, guys? Oh, it's just a little bit. Sorry. A little bit won't hurt you, dear. No. Why are some of you smiling? Ah, he gave me an idea. No. This is serious stuff. We excuse it away. What's the danger? Because if it is unchecked, if we do not deal with these things, it will produce fruit. We're always planting for fruit. Amen? Some of us are planting for not so good fruit. Some of us are planting for amazing fruit. But we're planting, whether we like it or not. Whatever a man sows, Galatians, that will he reap. We're doing it every day, every one of us. So what are we sowing? What will happen, the fruit that will start coming will be first discontent, because it can never be enough. Success, significance, all these things can never be enough. We want more, more. We are addictive people, addictive personalities. We want more. We get a thrill, we want more. And unless we get addicted to the Most High, we'll keep trying to get addicted on other things. Get your high from the Most High. Then it never, never runs out. Amen? May I say it that way? I will, anyway. It's like, any of you know who Howard Hughes was? The famous multimillionaire way back in the, a couple Americans raised their hands here. Yes, I'm sorry I have to use him as an example. I don't know enough French people, but they're perfect anyway. They don't have any problems. So, Howard Hughes, unbelievable multimillionaire back in the 40s and back in then. Someone said to him once, "Mr. Hughes, how much is enough?" What do you think he answered? About another billion or so, yeah. He said, "Just a little more." And that's true of any of us, whether we have millions or whether we have minus. How much is enough? A little more. I just need a little more. Our addictive personalities and our nature, our human nature that tugs against us. The old person, the old man. You see, don't play with this, friends. Don't play with it, with these issues of power and glory. They'll take you under every time. Don't mess with it. So let's call it as it is, because, friends, we do. We tend to gloss over things. We do have issues in our marriages, most of us. Control issues often. Now you're looking down. We do. We have it in our workplaces, power issues. We have it in our churches. Power and glory are still attractive to us. How? Well, we like to use names of important people. Oh, I was in the crowd the other day when Macron walked by, just mingling among the crowds. I stuck out my hand. He shook my hand. Ah! Macron touched me. Like connection with greatness or something, you know, with success or whatever. These things will stir us if we're not where we need to be. If we haven't settled the issue of power and glory. David, where's David? Back there. Chaparral. I'm sorry, we can't have our meeting this week that early because I'm always up at 4 to pray, and sometimes it takes 2 hours or so to get done, so we can't meet at 6 for breakfast. So, I'm sorry. You pass those little things slip out, you know. He prays, he gets up that early and he prays. I don't, friends. I don't. But sometimes I think I should. We let little things slip, you know, so it impresses people. If we're not careful. Oh, Kathy and I go to a great church in the States, a wonderful church that has a lot of different people, even some well-known Christian contemporary music artists go there. But they slip in and we let them be there. But, you know, we've said it. I've said it sometimes and I'm guilty. Jeremy Camp goes to our church. You know? Oh, but it's, you know, I mean, he's a great guy. You know Jeremy Camp? Well, you know. Well, let's not talk any more about that. I'll have to say, no, I don't. You know, or Francesca Battistelli, you know, that, what does it matter? But what are we doing? The power and the glory is still a struggle inside. Yeah. There's the struggles for significance, for success, all these things. And it doesn't matter. Well, not that we can't mention our careers and our promotions and our past successes, but let's be careful that it's about Jesus. And it never gets to where it's pointing to us, trying to lift us up. Every conversation offers us another opportunity to exalt ourselves. In the eyes of others, power and glory. We've got a choice. So this wonderful practical prayer, as we come to this end here, slices right to the core of the issue where we're saying, Abba, first we're addressing our Abba, yours is the kingdom. I'm affirming it again, Abba. And if it's not totally affirmed truly in my life, then I'm saying I want it to be this way. Yours is the kingdom. Abba, power, glory, yours. I want it to be yours. We're affirming it. We need to affirm that regularly. Amen? I know I do. If you don't, then please pray even more for me. Because, friends, if we don't lay this down, we will not find healing for our hearts. We will not find peace, His peace in our hearts. How else can we then submit to one another in the fear of Christ? Ephesians 5. How else can we serve one another in love? Galatians 5. You can't do both. You see why it's so important. How else can we pray in secret How else can we give as secretly as possible? Etc., etc. Now let's look at it from another direction just for a second, and then we're done. What really is all of history? This is a trick question. What really is all of history? We say in the States sometimes, history is, you split the word up and add an S in there in the middle too. It's his story, right? The word history doesn't mean that in the root of the word, but it's a great, it preaches really well. And it helps us remember it. Really, when you think about it, history is all about him, right? It's his story. We want to keep it that way. It's God's story much more than our own. A little bit? A bit deeper? The Bible is not how God fits into our story. Au contraire. The Bible is about how we fit into his. Anybody ever confuse that? Come on. How often we open the scriptures to understand ourselves. And some of that's good, but for many of us, the question may need to be, if we ever get into the scriptures, is it about ever more about anything else than ourselves? How easily that can be. We want God to clarify our lives, not highlight his, is the tendency if we're not careful. Amen? We like the 5 steps to prosperity, the 3 steps to healing, 6 truths to successful parenting, 4 keys to personal happiness, etc., etc., etc. Oh, I'll just get this book and I got all the answers. Simple formula. You'd think it's all about us. If we study the Bible at all, it's often just to get advice on our own issues. So, may I say it? Genie in the bottle, God in the Bible. That's how some people look at it. The Bible's no more than that magical bottle. We just grab God when we want him for what we need. May it never be, friends. May we be really careful and help each other with that. So, if the Bible's not a magical lamp, what is it? Is it a therapy textbook? It is not a therapy textbook. Tell the person next to you because they're looking in there for therapy right now. It's not, though we get it when we go to his, but that's not what it mainly is. It's revealing to us God's story. Say it with me. God's story. The main character is... Oh, we got an argument going now. Abba, Jesus, yes. The main character who fulfilled the Father's mission, yes, is Jesus, the Anointed One, the Messiah. Did it all for us. The Old Testament points to him. The New Testament clarifies him, reveals who he is. Even in the book of Revelation, it lifts him up as the central figure in all of eternity. All through. You can't miss it. We need a divine word, friends, when we dig into this book. Not a therapy word, though we will get that. Not a textbook word. We want to have our hearts opened to the divine mystery of the Father. This is amazing when you start to dig. who he is, what he is doing, why he does it, where he is taking it all. So what does this prayer lead us to? Death. Say to the person next to you, are you dead yet? Apparently not, you're moving. Surrender. Surrender means does not mean you become nothing. That's Buddhism. Surrender means you take who you are, how God's made you, and you say, here, I'm giving it back to you. I want your life as my life. I want you to make me a new creation in you, and I want to follow you, serve you. You turn around and give it back to him. Surrender. There's an interesting quote from a Jesuit priest who is French, so it's got to be true. Back in 1675 to 1751, and Jean-Pierre said this, without divine action, in other words, God being involved in your life, God being the focus, without divine action, everything is rien, right? Absolutely nothing. But, that's my addition, with it, with God's involvement, with God as the center, with him as the focus, nothing, in other words, our surrender to him, and that sense of nothing, giving it over to him, nothing is. Now say that to the person next to you. You can be everything. But guess how? Talk to Jean-Pierre. Someday we will. Isn't that cool? I think we will. Oh, Abba. Abba, Abba. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the power. Yours is the glory forever. What a great way to end all our prayers. Amen? Amen. Pray with me. Just be still with me for a moment.